Well, this morning, I want to continue, or actually kind of finish up with a thought out of James. We're going to be talking about faith that works and developing patience. One of the things that one of my favorite quotes is by a lady who, you know, has always been a very, very spiritual example to me, and always been somebody that I can trust to have something, you know, very smart, you know, very godly to say. And one time, Dr. Sutton, Lila Sutton's wife, said, "You know, Shane, a long time ago, I stopped praying for patience. Because every time I pray for patience, God gives me some reason to be patient." So she looked at it like that: as if you don't want situations to happen that require patience, then stop praying for God to strengthen your patience, because He'll give you an opportunity to display that. And this morning we're going to talk about the fact that praying for patience, praying for God to make us patient people, is an excuse to get out of being patient people. Over and over again in Scripture, God expounds on and talks about and explains to us how important being patient people are, how important it is for us to be patient people. And there's a lot of things that being patient and waiting and waiting cheerfully and joyfully and not being anxious and uptight and not trying to get ahead of ourselves and certainly not trying to get ahead of God. There's so many things there's so many realities of the Christian life and the life that we live, a life worthy of the gospel, that are manifest in our patience. You see, when we're patient people, when we're not anxious and worried, when we're waiting on God, it proves that God is important to us. It proves that God matters, that God is very real. And so instead of just always saying, and I'm afraid that sometimes we use "I'll pray for that" or "I'll pray for you" as kind of an exit line. Instead of just saying, "Well, I'm gonna pray for patience," or I'm praying about this, we need to be patient. Because opportunities arise all of the time, every day. In James chapter 5, 7 through 12, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to read there. It says, starting in verse 7, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance, and you've seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no, or you'll be condemned." He's talking about, what does it look like? When should we be patient? Why should we be patient? How does it look? Why is it so important? How is God glorified through this very simple reality that we call being patient and waiting and not being anxious? The first question that we're going to answer this morning is when. You know, I'm all about, what does it look like for us to live a life worthy of the gospel? What does it look like for us to live a life worthy of our calling, to live the life that God's called us to live? Because we can spend all day and all night and all week talking about all of these spiritual and biblical realities, but when it comes down to it, what's that look like for me to live this story, to be this biblical character? So for me, I need some specifics. I need, what does it look like for me to be patient? When do I exercise this? When is it appropriate for me to be a patient person? What do I need to be on the lookout for so I can be ready for it and I can perform in a God-glorifying way? The first thing that we learn, be patient when circumstances are uncontrollable. Look at verse 7. He says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rain." He says, look, there's things that are outside of your control. You know, there are things that we can control in this life, and there are things that we can't control in this life. And a farmer is a great example of someone who exists and lives and interacts every day in circumstances that are beyond their control. Farmer puts seed in the ground, you know, and farmer plows the ground, weeds it, fertilizes it, all of these things, put the seeds, and then waits. Waits for things that are way outside of their control. And the fact is, farmers don't really have a choice of whether they wait for the rain, do they? I mean, if all farmers want it to rain, no doubt. All farmers want enough sustenance for their crops. There's no doubt about it. And there's absolutely nothing that they can do. Oh, they can pray about rain. They can be on their knees and God, please wear their knees out praying for rain. And I promise you that somewhere, somehow, somebody's going on vacation in that very place and they're praying, God, let it not rain this week. So the point is, we wait patiently in circumstances that are uncontrollable. Things that we honestly can't fix, can't amend, can't change at all. So when circumstances are uncontrollable, what do we do? Do we curse the air? What do we do? We wait. We're patient when things are outside of our control. When people are unchangeable. When there's circumstances that, you know, whether it rains or whether it doesn't, we can't control. Whether people will listen or change or have anything to do with what we want them to do. When people are unchangeable, instead of making them an enemy, instead of trying to beat them into submission, it says, just be patient. Look at verse 10. He brings up the prophets. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. I don't know if there's a better example in all of Scripture of a group of people who were willing to stay the course, who were willing to do what God called them to do in the face of ridiculous adversaries and oppression than the prophets of the Old Testament, the major prophets and the minor prophets. Whether you look at Jeremiah or Ezekiel, if you look at Daniel or even Obadiah or Micah, any of them, they all faced situations where people that they were called to go and talk to, or that they were on the behalf of going and talking to, they were interacting with people that didn't want to hear what they had to say and certainly weren't going to listen to it and weren't going to make any changes in their lives based on what the men had to say. But they stayed the course. The people didn't listen, but they stayed the course. The people didn't change, but they kept doing what God called them to do. The people were inhospitable, but they went there anyway. The people killed them and ran them out of town. They took everything away from them, including their lives, and they stayed the course. They didn't allow people to change them and forfeit their calling. You see, we have an opportunity every day. People are going to act a way that we don't want them to. People are not going to make decisions. And we'll tell them, this is what you... And they will not listen. Remember the prophets and keep doing what God has called you to do. When problems are unexplainable, goes on in verse 11, talks about Job. He says, look, as you know, we consider blessed those who persevere. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. When problems are unexplainable, think about the life of Job. Think about all, and you don't have to know all the facts and figures in the history of this story, but you know that Job had a great life. He was a good man, and things just went from good to horrible in the blink of an eye. You know what we ask? Why? When things happen in our lives, we ask, God, why? Why is this happening? And ask all you want. And sometimes God will answer, and sometimes the answer is not very clear. But when problems are unexplainable and there's no rationale for, or there's no definition for what's going on, God says, look, do not change who you are just because you don't know the answer why. Because problems are often unexplainable. And sometimes we want to question, we want to ask, and we don't get the answer that we're looking for. But we should be patient and continue the course. Stay the course. continue to live a life worthy of the gospel. So those are the wins when circumstances are uncontrollable, people are unchangeable, problems are unexplainable. That talks about pretty much 99% of life, doesn't it? The wins, you know, the what time should I be on the lookout? Pretty much all the time. All of these situations happen. So then why? Why do I need to be patient? Why does it glorify God? Why is it why does God call me to live this way during unexplainable, unchangeable, uncontrollable world? Why does he call me to live like this? Because the first thing we have to understand is God is in control. Why be patient? You know, why can't I take matters into my own hands? Why can't I change and do something different for me? Why do I stay the course? Because we have to believe more than anything what verse 8 tells us, that God is in control. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. You know what that says? It's not just talking about the fact that that Christ is returning. Every time we read in Scripture where it says, you know, the Lord's coming is near, or his coming is imminent, you know, don't forget that Jesus is coming. That's not necessarily talking about the second coming when the clouds roll back as a scroll and the trumpet sounds and the angels sing. It's not talking about that. Now, on some level, he is saying that, look, be patient, because it's not always going to be like this. Be patient because God is in control and he's going to change things, and there's going to be nothing more to be patient about. But more than that, he's saying the Lord's coming is near, because when we stay the course, when we stand firm in the face of unpredictable, unchangeable, uncontrollable, God shows up. God is evident. God is visible through our actions, through our choices. He says, look, when you have an opportunity to trust God, trust him, and people will see him in your actions. His coming is near. His coming is near. He is about to show up through what you do. Because God is in control. Be patient, because he's in control. He's in control of the overall circumstances. And if, big if we allow him to be, he'll be in control of us. And people will ask you, why are you so patient? Why are you so calm? Why are you so God glorifying in the face of all of this turmoil, in all of this uncontrollable, unchanging, how are you doing that? Because God's in control of me. My heart would be anxious, but it can't, because it's not mine. It's his. And so he is at peace. Do we believe this? Do we believe God's in control overall? Do we believe that he's in control of us? See, God's coming is near means God will show up. And verse 11 tells us that God rewards patience. It's okay to be a little, you know, what's in it for me? It's okay. Anybody want to be rewarded by God for anything good? I mean, just think about standing before God and being rewarded in a good way. Is that something that's appealing to us? Is it something, you know, do we want to be before God and have him hand over something to us, bless anything about us because of something that we have done on his behalf? Do we want to be rewarded by God? You see, God deals with the spiritual and deals with the flesh. He knows that there's a part of us that really wants to be recognized. He says, look, I'll reward you. You want to be patient? You want to glorify me? I will glorify you as well. He says, look, God rewards those who persevere. Verse 11, remember, blessed are those who persevere. Anytime you read the story of anyone, whether it be a prophet, whether it be an apostle, whether it be anybody who was acting on behalf of God, and things kind of got crazy and haywire, and they stayed the course and they did what they needed to do in the face of storms and adversaries and wars and all of those things and famines, every single time without fail, at some point, that person was better off for staying the course than they would have been if they quit. God rewards those who persevere. And this might be the most difficult one for us to wrap our minds around. Why? Why should I be patient? Because God's working things out. Because God is in his infinite, holy, perfect, knowledgeable plan. He's doing something in our lives. He's doing something with our lives. He's doing something through our lives. God is working it out. Look at verse 11, the end of verse 11. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. He uses this example. He says, God, look, don't forget, God is bringing about something through your life. Let me ask you, have you ever thought about it like this? Think about the life of Job. Everything was great. He was a good person. It went really horrible in an instant. And then he kind of got it all back and then some at the end. What do you think would have been a greater story? What do you think would have been a more blessed story? Job was a great guy. Job had it all. Job kept it all. And Job died. Is that a good story? It's kind of a boring story. Kind of just, you know, kind of a vanilla, average, kind of run-of-the-mill story. Good guy. Decent house, nice family, good job. The end. Or, good guy, decent house, nice family, calamity strikes. People want him to turn his back on God. People want him to change and to say things that aren't true. People attack him and make him out to be something that he was not. And all the while, I mean, he's deserted by everyone. Even his wife tells him, you are an idiot. You need to change and curse God and just die. And he says, no, I won't. I will, even if he slay me, I will put my hope in him. That's what Job says about God. And he said, you know, and he goes through some horrific circumstances. And then, you know, as his life ebbs away, he, you know, God restores him. He gets his health back and another job and a great, you know, house and a family and kids and everything else. And at the very end, he looks back on his life, the ups and the downs, the good, the bad, the adventure and the plain. And he says, and here I am again because God survived. What a story. You see, God is seen as mightier when he pulls us from the wreckage of so many things. He's working it out. He's working, he's proving to us that he is truly real and truly powerful. He's working it out. Do we believe passages like Romans chapter 8 where it says, you know, God is truly in control of things and he's truly going to work the good and the bad out for his purpose, for those that love him. Do we believe that? But what do we do in the meantime? While we're waiting on God to work things out, when we're enduring circumstances, when we are enduring people that just won't change, when we're enduring problems that are so unexplainable. You know what's another word for unexplainable? Unfair. Just throw that out. When we're enduring problems that are just not fair, what do when we wait? Verse 7 says to wait expectantly. Wait on God expectantly. Guys, when the rain comes and the crops grow, are farmers genuinely shocked when they look out and there's crops popping up in the field? I mean, I would say that they're probably not taken aback. I mean, Earl, you know, are they just absolutely shocked when the crops show up if there's been rain? They're not shocked. It's not a surprise to the farmer. You know what would be a surprise to the farmer? If they did everything right, they plowed, they weeded, they fertilized, they planted, it rained good, it was dry some, it rained some more, it was dry, and then there's nothing's growing. That would be a shock, wouldn't it? Oh, there'd be all kinds of investigations. Soil samples would be sent to Knoxville and everything would just start happening. You know, wheels would be in motion because that would be a surprise. You see, the farmer is genuinely not shocked when God shows up. Are we? Are we shocked when God shows up? Does God show up unexpectedly or are we waiting at the door to open it? I knew you were coming. I knew you were coming. You ever had somebody on their way over, you know, coming to dinner or coming to visit? And is it a surprise when they get there? Oh, hey, I had no idea. No, when you've invited them, you've called and confirmed, and they're on their way. What typically we're waiting, we're looking, and when they show up, we're opening the door. Most of the time, we expect it. Wait expectantly. Wait quietly. Verse 9, he says, look, don't grumble against each other. As you're patient and waiting on the Lord, understand God's working it out. He's in control. And don't turn on each other. Don't allow this to be an opportunity to focus on one another. Continue to focus on God when problems arise, when situations are uncontrollable. Wait quietly. Don't grumble against one another and wait confidently. Verse 11, the end of verse 11, he says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Micah 7:7 says that I will confidently. I mean, read the story in the background history of Micah and his prophecy. If anyone had a right to wonder and to think that, you know, God's about to let him down, it's some of those minor prophets. And Micah certainly is one of them. I mean, things are going from bad to worse in the country of Israel, in the nation of God's people. And Micah says, and no one's listening to him, everybody's persecuting him. And he says, I will wait confidently on the Lord who will deliver me. Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. When we know God will work things out, when we know he is working them out, you know, and it's just as easy as changing some of our, some of our syntax. Instead of saying, you know, I know God will work, you know, God is working this out. God is changing my heart to love those who are unchangeable. God is changing me to wait expectantly on things outside of my control. I'll wait confidently knowing that he's going to show up. You know what the kicker is, though? And I'll just tell you this and we'll be done. You know what we can be confident that God will show up in here? See, so often God's not trying to change the barometric rain patterns. God's not going to answer my prayer so much to change someone else. And God's typically not going to fix circumstances so that they line up with what I consider to be fair and balanced. But you know what he is going to do? You know what I can be confident about? If I truly want to live a life worthy of his calling, if I truly want to live a life that glorifies him, if I truly want to be patient, I'm waiting confidently on him to change me. To change me. To amend my expectations. To amend my purposes, to amend my relationship with someone from my side. Be confident. God will show up in here. God will show up knocking at the door, and he'll want to change this heart. Wait on that. Don't be surprised when we don't like it, when we realize that. No, I knew there was a catch. I knew there was some fine print. See, God's going to change our hearts. He's going to change my heart. So that what's outside of my control is off my radar screen. So the people that are unchangeable don't affect my relationship with him, and I love them anyway. Isn't that what it says about those who persecute you and those who are your enemies? And remember that? It's not changing this, it's changing me. When problems are unexplainable and unfair, well, you know, God is there. It's not about having wall-to-wall carpet and surround sound in this life. Because isn't that the unfair problems when things start happening and stuff starts getting taken away and, you know, da 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 blah. It's unfair. Well, you know what relationship never fails? Ours and God's. You know what stuff never gets taken away? Heavenly spiritual blessings. You know what ground and what property never gets encroached upon? Heavenly ground. Wait confidently for God to change the heart of flesh that he has in fact given each one of us. This morning, are you patiently waiting? Are you patiently waiting for God to show up and to change a situation or a circumstance or a person? Well, here's my challenge. Let Him change you. Let Him change you. Let Him be the defining factor in your life so that things that would cause us to change our course and to be other than God glorifying will no longer do so. Let Him change you. Let Him change me. This morning, you might be in a situation where you need more than anything to confess Christ, to be baptized and let that changing process start. Give in to that. Give in to that need to confess Christ as a Savior and Lord and to be immersed in baptism, to have everything that separates you and God removed for eternity and allow the changing process to take place, to initiate, to live that patient, waiting on God, God-glorifying life. If you need to be restored to that relationship, you can do that too. Whatever your need is, would you let us know by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.